ass podcast part two.
Do you want to explain that to people who haven't listened all the way now and don't know what is going on?
So Andrew WK put out his new album just yesterday, and that, like, the first track is just like epic horror movie organ music with just him going party, party, party. And so it just seemed like a good podcast intro. And you don't have intro music, so I wanted you to have something.
No, I don't.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Well, I'll
crap that out and just drop it into every episode.
Well, this will be the beginning of every episode. Thanks, Andrew WK.
Mm-hmm.
I
still want him to come to a game in Capo.
You're trying really hard to do that.
So his dad's a professor at U of M. Like, he's from the area.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I did some internet stalking. And so, but it's right there. Like, it seems like an obvious fit.
Well, wouldn't he Capo for AFC Ann Arbor?
No, he wouldn't, because he's all about partying. He's not anti-schlepping. He would schlep to party.
He schleps all over the world.
Exactly. Will schlep for parties. That's a hashtag.
That's a two stick right there.
Oh,
write it down next to the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a commandment 11.
Will
schlep to parties.
It should just be like Andrew WK with his fist up.
Yeah,
with the bloody face.
Yep.
I know, it ties it back into last year and the bloody skull and everything's back. Okay.
So let's talk about kind of Detroit City FC.
I'm
going to go through some questions specifically relating to match days. A lot of people always ask this, but Hogs asked, what's your favorite chant?
I mean, for sure the French chant.
Yeah.
Which is stunning because Wild, Wild, Wild inspired the wig, getting the wigs out. But for sure the French chant. And
brought you out of your shell enough.
Exactly, right.
To wear wigs in front of everyone.
I've got props. The reason for the French chant specifically is I hadn't, like, capoed on a bullhorn. And it was 2015 at CAS, last season at CAS. And Novak's the hero of the story, ultimately. But so,
that's how it usually goes.
Yeah, it does. Tie that back into the previous episodes, which, if you haven't listened to, are available in your podcast app now.
We're on Spotify now.
Yeah, ooh, Spotify podcast?
Yeah.
I didn't know this. This thing.
I've been working magic in the background.
All right. See? Hey, kids, check it out on Spotify. So Drew handed me the bullhorn and was like, hey, you know, why don't you capo some? I'm like, yeah, cool. French chant. Fun thing, if you hadn't capo before, you might not know the actual.
You only know half of it.
You only know the response. So I don't even know what I was saying, but apparently it was terrible and it was not correct and it was funny / infuriating for those involved. So it ended with Novak stealing the bullhorn, drumming and capoing.
Was this an away game?
No, this was at CAS. Okay. This was for sure at CAS.
Is this a friendly?
This might have been, this is friendly.
Is this where B-Team was invented?
Maybe. Okay. But yeah, Novak was drumming with one hand, and I think someone else was holding the bullhorn for him to chant in. And so I was like, after that game, I was like, well, I have to learn this chant. I have to know it. And I love the chant. I always like the chant.
Yeah, it's a lot
of
fun.
So then it became like my baby after that. Like, well, I know this one very well.
You meticulously researched it.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know the poorly translated French very, very well, kids.
And then Hogs actually asked you a second question. He asked you a bunch.
Yeah, he did.
But what's PSP's favorite chant?
So we usually just use...
PSP is your son.
Correct. Pine Size Padre. He turned 2 a few weeks ago, and for most of his life, at some point in the day or most days, we do the O chant, the O Detroit chant, and it's a fun one. Like, if he's in the bathtub, you can drum on the side of the bathtub, and he loves that one. So I would say at this point, that's probably his favorite, because he really doesn't know that many others. he came to a game or two last year in 2017 and was sat over in the quieter section with my wife.
Side, yeah.
And
they're not quiet.
No, they are. They really are. What was interesting is that a friend of mine was the head official for the one game he came to, and the friend's name is Alexander.
Yeah.
and as is my son. And so I was yelling at the ref, like, Alexander, you made a huge mistake. And so every time Giles said that, he would, like, look around, like, I hear Dad, what's going on? And so after the fact, I was like, yeah, okay, maybe I won't do that next time.
It's really funny.
Thundering his name in the megaphone across the pitch.
That's really funny. Hogs, another question he asked you. What's your favorite banner or flag that we have?
The Milhouse one has to be.
The two-stick?
The two-stick. Yeah. Everything's coming up city. It has to be at the top. I mean, the TIFO from 2016, I loved.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's hard to distance that from, like, the whole experience. I got to be on the wall to help launch that and do the smoke and stuff. And that was just, like, such a cool experience. The first match at CAS. Or Keywords.
Was that the first time you helped to play a TIFO?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was. That's correct.
Okay. That was
Club of the People. Yeah, for sure. Which was just an awesome TIFO and an awesome experience. But I really do. I think some of the pop culture references that are close to my heart are always the fun. Like, you know, a Simpsons one, that's gonna go a long way.
We want to do more Simpsons ones. I think we sit in our living room and watch episodes of The Simpsons and just, like, try to pick out, like, oh, this would be a really good two stick for if this specific situation happened.
Correct. I think that's the hardest part, is where you're like, oh, but it has a very specific context to it.
But it'd be really good if it happened.
Right. Any of them that throw shade at the billionaires is always fun too.
Yeah.
But again, like, it's a really specific context that like, right now at this particular moment in the calendar doesn't carry a lot of weight. So, like, it only matters if certain things have happened.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and that's the thing that, like, especially with, like, two sticks, that's kind of like the idea behind them.
Exactly.
They're meant to, like, be like statements or commentary on things that have happened.
Right.
So, yeah, for sure.
One of these days I'm just going to print a Hogs approved shirt and just capo with it, because that was my idea, and it irked him at first. So that I love the fact that it's just a thing.
There's another one that that's not Hogs approved, but it's like that. And this is like a meme, like a Twitter meme,
right?
What's the guy? Is it Mike Brampton?
That's also a good one.
That's a fucking hilarious one. And, like, every so often someone will post. Yeah.
Gus Macker posted a lot.
Is it,
like,
Gus Macker?
He lurks on that one. Yeah.
I fucking love that one. Because so Mike Brampton was just this guy on social media who wanted, like, MLS in Detroit, I think.
Yeah, I think he was, like, the NGS account or somebody had, like, posted, like, you know, about why don't.
MLS is bad, or
and
why
this
we
guy
don't
was
it.
Basically like, grow up, you stupid children, like, da 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 da. I don't approve this. I approve MLS Detroit, and so we took his picture off his profile and just slapped it onto some guy giving two thumbs up. It's Mike Brampton approved. So, Mike, if you're listening, you're not. You approve this podcast.
Yes, this podcast is definitely Mike Brampton
approved. For sure.
Jeremy Churchman has an interesting question that I don't think anyone's asked before.
Okay.
And it's not just Northern Guard related, but this could be related to the entire match day experience.
Okay.
But he asks, what do you think is the best idea to further improve match day experience, whether it's the facility, food or drink options, or even the education of new supporters?
I think I touched on this in part one just a little bit when I kind of made reference to, like, the idea of a welcoming committee.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how to, like, improve food or drink. I mean, like, you know, whatever. Like, everybody's going to like or dislike options. Like, I think that's just a hard, like, catering to wider diet needs and menu options. Like, it is.
Yeah, there's,
you know,
like, there's a big push to get, like, vegan from people this year. More vegan options.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not particularly well engaged in, like, what's available at Keyworth. So, like, if there's not, like, vegan stuff or whatever, there should probably
be. Wait, on
do
that
it.
Note, yeah. L. Tiburon asks you, what's your favorite kind of burrito?
Oh, I answer that on Twitter, and the answer is yes. Yes, burritos.
So, to improve the match day experience, keep having burritos.
More burritos.
More burritos.
All the burritos. Okay. Yes. Yes. No, I mean, that's, yeah, just, yes, always burritos. Breakfast burritos, yes.
Or like a 1 p.m. game, like a, sure, late, yeah. like a brunch burrito.
Brunch burrito, yeah, I'm fine. All of the above. No, so, I think the biggest thing that we don't currently have, like, in the broader section is, you know, I mean, like, not a welcoming packet, but, like, just, you know, just like, hey, here's the stuff you need to know, like, you know, there are people that come into the section for the first time that don't realize we pop smoke, that don't realize we stand the whole time, that don't realize we sing the whole time, you know, and I don't think we have perfected the art of explaining all of those things. And so I think that would probably be the biggest change for newcomers into our section is this your first game? Is this your first city game? Oh, it is. Here's what you should expect. Like, I mean, we got the banners, but like, yeah, who looks at banners when
you're
coming in?
I've always kind of toyed with the idea of making like a very stylized, like 1950s style educational video.
Hello, like, children. Welcome to Detroit City FC supporter group section. Exactly.
Like, yeah, like a primer to the supporter group section, but it's not a small project.
No, it's not.
And, but I've always like, I thought that would be really funny.
You have the man like in the suit and tie wearing
like
the fedora.
A lab coat. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Here's what you need to know when you're hanging out with these hooligans at these soccer games.
We'll get you to do the voiceover for that.
Perfect.
Actually, I'm going to go to... Jackie actually has two questions for you, so I'm going to let her ask them.
Great. It's our first call-in questions.
I forget what my questions were.
It's a good thing we're grown-ups here.
Right. What has been your favorite match in city history? And why?
So that's a tough... I mean, like, there's, like, four answers. So I think for the significance of the match themselves, I would say the Open Cup victory against the Bucks. I mean, we beat the local club whose owner thinks we're a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, getting to troll Dan Duggan on the way out of the stadium after that game was one of the highlights of my life, for sure. I mean, like, but that, I mean, that whole game was, I mean, like, again, it's Open Cup. You know, when you're at the level that we are, that you're not going to win the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that game was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no voice and I still managed to call both my dad and Hogs after the game and talk to them for like an hour each. I have no idea how. So that was like, that's up there for sure. Just in terms of the whole experience.
And I feel like that entire match too, like it wasn't just that like we won, but it was like, I remember walking in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking with everyone and we like almost like single file line, like we knew exactly where to go. Like they literally had the yellow caution tape around our section and like, that's where we went.
It's one of those things where like, without being like too over important with language, like you knew what the game was about and it wasn't about an Open Cup victory.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you're like, you knew you were fighting for local dominance, you were fighting against a narrative, you were fighting for club superiority, all that kind of stuff. And like, it just felt like we walked in there, the boys did exactly what we needed to do. I mean, Laura was out of his mind. Like, the whole time I remember thinking, like, how is this game even? Like, they destroyed us last year. Like, I don't understand how this game is as even as it is. We go to PKs. I still don't understand how I lost the bass drum. Like, somehow, I was wearing it, and it was gone. I don't know. Like, but that whole experience, like, so that's up there for sure. I mean, the game, like, the playoff game against Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
I mean, I know these are both recent things, but, like, both of those things are, like, so high up there. And then I would say that the Fort Pitt away game in 2015 is up there.
That was so good.
Because it was such a cool experience. There were so many of us there for that far away of an away game.
Mm-hmm.
They had no fans. So, like, we got to do whatever we wanted. It was just such a cool...
That mom yelled at us.
Oh, yeah, Grimace. Yeah, Grimace yelled at us for being, quote, I think, sit down, you profane assholes, or something like that. But, like, the whole experience, like, it was one of those things, like, that was the first time we met Hogs, and it was one of those things, I think, where we kind of, all of us that are local, realized, like, oh, this thing really is bigger than we think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are falling in love with this club who have no attachment to Detroit, no attachment to Michigan, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the summer of, I think, June, maybe 2015. And that's where, like, we'd been in Howler magazine. That's how Hogs found out about us down in Kansas. And that's where we went, holy shit, this thing is actually, like, we feel that it's a big thing. Now we know it's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, like, there are a lot of, like, really fun individual games. Rain games are awesome. Yeah. They're hell, but they're also fun.
The Ann Arbor rain game that never was.
Yeah, the 451 game. Like, I still to this day, like, even despite the playoff run, that was still the most electric. I mean, I'm confident that had that game gone, we would have absolutely obliterated them.
Absolutely. And, like, they would have had a red within the first 10 minutes.
And Keyworth may have just, like, self-imploded. Yeah. Like, it was, like, I cannot pinpoint or articulate the atmosphere of that game. Yeah. I've never felt anything like that before. And honestly, getting on the stand for the playoff run was rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was still, like, I still to this day, like, that was the craziest feeling.
I remember being on the stand and turning and looking at you and just shaking my head.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
What the fuck is going to happen right now?
And, like, it just felt like people were going to crawl, that people were just like pull concrete off of itself. Mm-hmm. People were so amped for that game. And honestly, I think the boys probably felt it too. I mean, that place just felt out of control.
Yeah.
Obviously it didn't happen because the game just never happened. But yeah, I mean, like that, the Mondi goal for sure was like, I mean, looking around and seeing how many tears there were, just the sobbing and the like Matt, that Snapchat, I have that hanging up at work, Format's crying joy with the Mondi goal. Like, I mean, but like all of this to say, like, I mean, I remember the 2013 playoff run. Like, I remember Cleveland's, I don't remember if it was regular season or playoffs again. Like, did we play Cleveland in the playoffs in 2013? Yeah, so it was that playoff game. I remember.
We beat that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
with
Semmy's
header, right?
And then we lost to Erie.
That was the following season. Oh.
But I remember, like, them running in to the press. I was in the press box that game, and them running in screaming at us about, like, the fans being too wound up and their players not being safe. And just the whole thing being like, you guys don't get it. Like, you guys are a bunch of fucking nut jobs. Like, you guys are, like, I don't even know what to do with you guys right now. And, like, but also, it's like, we're running the scorebooks. Like, I don't know if you know, but we have no authority here whatsoever. Like, I don't know what you think of us, but that's not us, you know. So, but yeah, anyhow, that's like seven examples. So you have a second question?
Yeah. Speaking of being up on the capo stand, what is the funniest thing you've seen from the capo stand?
I don't know. Like, there's so many things. Like, Noah getting sent off after 3 minutes was my favorite thing. Because Sad Noah is awesome. But I would say, like, multiple times in 2017, there was the Shakira face, there was Nicki Minaj, there was the Sebi windmill cardboard cutout, there was all the Roddy Green faces. Like, whoever decided to start bringing faces of real people. Like,
I think that was Ray.
I know Ray brought Sebi, and I think he brought Shakira. Yeah.
No,
and,
Lids.
Oh, Lids. Chad.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, Roddy's dad's coworkers all brought the Roddy heads. Like, it's just like all these people that work at like Staples or something, I'll bring Roddy faces to a game. Like, what? And like watching those heads do chants, like Tetris, like anything that involves a massive physical movement is one of the most ridiculous things. Cause you're like, I'm trying to get people amped and to do this thing. Meanwhile, Shakira, Nicki Minaj, and 12 Roddy Greens are doing Tetris out here. Like, That's a bit surreal. I'm going to be honest.
I love, like, before we do Tetris, like, we'll say, you know, like, line up for Tetris, and there's always the equal amount of people that are really excited and then people that are dreading
it. Yeah, they're like, oh, I didn't realize it was Tetris. I should have gone and got another beer right now.
And it's always, like, there's people always, like, chugging their beers as well, and it's, like, the final countdown.
Exactly. Here we go. Hell has set in. We have to Tetris. Yep. Good stuff.
Let's talk friendlies a little bit, since that's like the hot contentious topic.
Friendly the Bear?
Friendly the Bear. We can talk about Friendly the Bear. Okay. Dumpster Bear.
Yeah, he's a mascot.
Have you ever been in the costume?
I have not.
That's not something they asked you to do.
No. It's not. It's not crossed my list. It did terrify me at a couple weeks ago when there was the picture of Dwayne and Friendly the Bear. That was upsetting.
If he's not in the costume,
who is Friendly the Bear costume a sentient being at this point?
That's just another Dion bot.
Oh, I knew it.
But in the real world,
I will admit that Pint Size Pondre was signed up the first day of Rouge Rascals, so he is in the little kid supporter club thing. So I think
he's ticket one.
Yes, I think he's. I hope so. Friendlies. International Friendly FC looks good.
I'm really looking forward to playing them.
Yeah.
They're in a hot streak right now.
Undefeated. And, I think they've got, like, one of the best team scores in FIFA. So that should be interesting. I don't know
if we're... Easy five-star team.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ready for it. I mean, when you think about, like, it could have been, you know, Bayern. It could have been Manchester City. I mean, instead we got International Friendly FC. So we'll see.
Be a tough game.
Yeah.
Good. It's, like, early in the year, too. It'll be a good
team. Yeah, was it, like, May 10th? May 19th? Something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be a good precursor to the overall NPSL season. Like, can we take down International Friendly FC? And I think, I mean, I don't want to rule it out because, I mean, we have not lost one of our international friendlies, I believe. We've
drawn
several, lost. And we've never lost.
We've
I mean,
we've only drawn one.
We beat Venezia.
We beat Venezia, and we beat,
Did we draw Manchester?
We drew Manchester, and we beat Glentoran.
So look at that.
2-1-0
Yeah, so I think we've got a chance against International Friendly FC, is what I'm saying.
So, when we originally were going to record this episode,
we knew neither.
We were going to speculate on what they could possibly be. But since then, we have confirmed one.
Correct,
and that's Club Necaxa.
Yeah.
Because I think that is how it's pronounced.
I think that's correct.
And it is a first division Mexican team.
Yep. Yeah, I think they're
pretty mid-table right now,
mm-hmm.
but they're really good.
And correct.
They have a very successful history. My question to you is, had you heard of them prior to the friendly being announced?
Sure. I had not. And I don't think that should be a reflection of their quality of play so much as my awareness of Liga MX.
I honestly think most people had not heard of them who are City supporters.
A friend explained that kind of paralleled to them like a Tottenham or somebody else who's like a 6th, 7th place.
Yeah,
like they're kind not, of where they've been lately.
They're not like mid table. They're like pretty good, but they're not like the best, but they're up there.
Right. And so that was like the parallel someone drew to me is like, oh yeah, you know, they're kind of like a Tottenham or a Manchester City historically, maybe not the last couple of years, or an Arsenal type of thing.
Like a Burnley.
Right, yeah. Like, wait, why are they here? So
it's a big game.
Yeah, for sure. And I know, I looked up where they are geographically. They're north of Guadalajara a little ways, maybe an hour or something like that.
Pretty close to Mexico City.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for sure they have a significant, significant support, locally
I think they... I have to look it up, but I think they play in like a 60,000 seat stadium.
Yeah, but I think the thing that's most interesting is, when you look at the friendlies that we've had so far of that clout, so they've been from the United Kingdom and Italy so far. I think it's really significant that the club is bringing in, that our club is bringing in a club from Mexico, moving into the Western Hemisphere, bringing in a club that many Detroit area residents may be familiar with.
Yeah.
I think that's really significant because when you think about the other clubs that we've brought in, they've had, some of them, either the Detroit Cougars tie-in or the kind of the historic positioning of the club against the establishment, like FC United, or the kind of the scenario that developed with Venezia with corporate sponsorship wanting to bring them in and them having an American tie-in and things like that. I think this just relates to the local population in a different way. And I'm really hopeful that this is kind of like a validation. Maybe there are a lot of folks who, maybe from Mexico, familiar with the Mexican League, who haven't come out to Detroit City or haven't really bought in before, that maybe this kind of helps tip the scales for them.
That's exactly what I thought was going to be the reason behind this friendly, so to speak, when they first announced it. To me, it was pretty clear that this was like a way to do some sort of outreach. They have tried to kind of connect, I'll say specifically like with Southwest Detroit,
mm-hmm.
like Mexican Town, where a lot of like Spanish speaking people reside. I feel like the club has tried and honestly failed to connect with that community since its inception. I know they've definitely tried, but they just haven't been able to do that. And so I definitely saw this friendly as a way for them to get people from there to come to games and see what it's like and what it's about, and also to provide something for the community as well. That's another part of it I saw too.
And I think the other layer, and I know this is kind of in vogue to talk about right now with CONCACAF Champions League?
Yeah, CCL.
Like that going on right now, or like whatever round it is.
It's and like the, way early.
Yeah, but like, you know, there's the, it's kind of a hot topic to rail on an MLS club, FC Dallas, losing to a Panamanian club.
Yeah.
Like, and but I think this is kind of one of those things where, because we exist in the MPSL, because of, I mean, I don't think it's revisionist history or an excuse to say, you know, ultimately the club we ran against Midland Odessa was not the club we ran in June and July.
Oh, well, that, I don't even consider it the same team.
Right. And but, again, you look at the club that Midland Odessa played against us on August 5th and the club they played in the championship the week following, not even the same roster, like no. 2-3 quarters different.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a good opportunity for us to measure ourselves against
the rest of the world,
the rest of the region at the very least, and say, how do we as a club, as an entity, stack up in a meaningful way in a time frame that is...
We have all of our best players still.
It's exactly.
Mid-July. It's July 10th.
Exactly. And so I think this does a lot of things. I think it...
Yeah, this is like peak... Team right. cohesion. Like,
exactly.
It's right after our season ends, right before playoff starts, which is actually interesting kind of to see how that's going to go. It's probably going to be some playoff deciding roster decisions if it's not already set in stone at that point, which it probably should be. But
right.
I imagine that, you know, Ben's going to be playing this game to win.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's the other thing where you look at, you know, some of the other friendlies out there where it's like kind of like a tune-up game or people are just kind of doing it to do it or what have you. I mean, even like when FC United came over, like, I mean, the keeper that we scored on toward the end of the game was like, yeah, he was a cool dude, but like he wasn't going to be the guy that was getting any playing time in league, let alone the second string. I mean, if I remember, he was a replacement keeper in the game and they didn't bring their first string keeper or something like that. Yeah, so whereas I think these games now for our club have taken a far more greater significance where it's like, you know, we're going to run a real roster out there. We're not calling, you know, we're not going to call Dwayhe out to play in all these games.
Although Dwayhe did play against Venezia.
He did play against Venezia, for sure. But I think the idea in these games is to really showcase what our club is capable of.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I know the club said this in the release, but like, I don't think you can really get around the fact that Liga MX is the best professional league in the region.
Yeah.
And we get to play a team from that level. That's a huge, huge coup if you think about it. Like, I mean, sorry, nobody else in any other country in the fourth division is playing a top tier team.
Yeah. No, not
from another region.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
So that's what I got.
Every so often they do. There's friendlies like that. I'm pretty sure Chattanooga's had some big games against Mexican teams, and I think there's some. I think like the Tulsa Athletics usually play a Liga MX team, but I don't think. I think it's because of that region. Like Southern Texas is really close to Mexico, and so that's just like kind of a natural.
Right.
Team to get there, but this is like Detroit.
Yeah, I mean,
this team would normally not ever be coming here.
Correct.
It's
a long way from, you know, from north of Guadalajara to here.
Yeah,
to play a soccer game.
So
for fun,
it's a big. That'll be a really big game, and I definitely think that Ben's going to play it to win it, and we're going to be at peak team cohesion, and hopefully, you know, not injured. Plagued by injuries, but that game should be really good. I'm actually going to miss that game. I'm going to be out of town. It's a bummer. But
where are you going to be?
We are
breaking news on the podcast.
Sure. We're going to be going to Europe for a couple weeks over the summer, and it just so the way that the playoffs are working this year. I believe the weekend after that friendly. So the friendly is on the 10th on a Tuesday. So what's that? Like the 15th is, I think, when the playoffs are going to start. That first round of playoffs if your team gets first or second place in the region, in the Midwest, that's a bye round for you. So I'm hoping that City gets at least first or second this coming year in the region based on fucking bullshit points per game. But that's how it always is, because that's like a fair way to...
Right.
To weigh it, I guess.
Unless you play against Eau Claire.
And, unless you're cities. In the central region, yeah. Super annoying, but that's how it is. So I'm hoping that we get first or second in the region so we don't miss playoffs, like the first round of playoffs. Right. But that's going to be like the third through the sixth teams are going to be traveling to each other and playing. And then for the finals, I believe they're doing another bidding process,
right?
So it's open to anyone in the region who is in it, as far as I know. Maybe someone who's not in it, although I can't see people wanting to go somewhere like neutral ground or whatever,
right?
But so that would be the following weekend. So
interesting.
Actually, Jackie and I are going to be going to Iceland, Scotland, and Amsterdam.
There you go.
Starting the day after our last home game. We actually planned our trip around that.
Nice.
It's the last game of the season. It's against Kalamazoo. So we'll be driving to Kalamazoo the day before and then flying to Iceland the following day. So
there you go.
Cool. But we're missing that friendly, which I'm kind of bummed about because it is a big game.
For sure.
But be able to watch the stream.
Right. Yeah.
It should be a great stream. So.
For sure.
There's always that. Don't have to worry too much. But that'll actually be the first home game ever that I'll miss.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Which is, that's shitty.
I mean, it was bound to happen someday.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So that's what it is. So with that being said, we have another friendly that we still don't know who it is. And they started selling single game tickets. I thought for sure that they would announce it when single game tickets went on sale. It seemed like kind of the thing to do. But that game is on May 19th. It says it's at 5 p.m. Any thoughts, predictions?
I mean, I believe that like at some point...
Crimson Ginger asked.
Oh, okay.
if you had any predictions.
I think early on, the club had said kind of like there was going to be, you know, a friendly from Europe and a friendly from the Americas.
Yes.
Okay. Liga MX is in the Americas.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can look to Europe for this one. I mean, I think it's hard to say from this perspective. Like, you know, it could be the super kitsch hipster St. Pauli type of a thing, AFC Wimbledon or, you know, or some such thing.
Yeah.
Or it could be, you know, who knows what. I mean, like, I don't think any of us saw Venezia coming until it did.
I actually did.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
I heard a rumor about Venezia coming to Detroit. I think it was in February or March last year. And I talked to some people I knew at Venezia, actually, and didn't get a response from them, like completely ignored. And this is someone that normally responds back. So I was like, oh, that's a little weird.
Right.
They didn't respond at all. And then didn't hear anything. What I had heard was that Venezia was supposed to be doing like a summer tour in the United States. And Detroit was one of the cities that they were looking at coming to. And so I'm thinking, well, if it's in Detroit and they're playing friendlies, like it has to be Detroit City FC. Like,
right.
who else would they be playing against? And it wasn't like a Champions Cup game or anything like that. It was like they were traveling to different areas to play teams from those areas.
Right.
And that's the rumor I had heard. And I couldn't get any confirmation of it. And then I heard that they were going to have a game and it was being sponsored and getting in trend. I'm like, oh, cool. And then they announced that it was us. I'm like, okay, good. So that rumor I heard but couldn't say anything about,
for sure.
Like that was real. But I have not heard anything
exactly
about what this could potentially be. I haven't heard it from the club. I haven't heard it from, like, different people I talk to. But I have a couple guesses.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really have anything, so hit me.
So the guesses that I have are based pretty much solely on the date of the friendly.
Okay.
It's really early. It's May 19th.
It really is, yeah.
And so most leagues still have league games either a couple days before or even after
That is true.
Friendly is supposed to be. And I really doubt that, you know, a substantial club is going to travel to do a friendly against a fourth division side on like 4 days sleep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think that's going to happen. It could happen, but I doubt it. And so then in me trying to figure out when these teams were supposed to get here, or like what teams could possibly get here,
mm-hmm.
I looked at when their seasons ended. And the biggest, kind of most substantial one that I can see is like a Scottish team.
Okay.
The Scottish league ends mid-April.
Really?
Yeah. So you can throw around a couple names that kind of everyone knows from Scotland. There's the Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen is another big one. So any one of those teams could potentially be it reasonably, in my opinion. There are some other people that looked at it could potentially be a Greek team.
Mm.
Because the Greek league ends pretty early. A lot of people throwing around like Panathinaikos, which has played here before.
Right.
Actually, they played when the Silver Dome, rest in peace, was...
Hashtag APOP.
Hashtag APOP. When the Silver Dome was still around, they played a pretty big friendly in the area against AC Milan.
Mm-hmm.
You went to that game? I did not go to that game, which was such a bummer because that was like my favorite Milan team in modern times. Like fucking Gattuso was there.
Nice. Like
Gattuso. So so they have some kind of connection history to the area.
Sure.
I think the Russian leagues end in early enough time.
I think politically.
I don't know if bringing a Russian team here would be like a good idea, but
nope. Check your voting systems, kids.
And then I think Polish teams also potentially finish early.
Steph just died and went to heaven.
But like, I don't want any of the Polish teams to come here. Like, we would just get embarrassed if any of their fans came. Like, they would just completely embarrass us. There are like next level ultra supporters.
Right. Like, I mean, I think the thing that has always kind of sat in the context of these friendlies is that there's something in it for our club.
Yeah.
And
or I mean, some connection.
Right. Yeah. There's either a historical narrative or there's something to be gained kind of on a PR level.
Yeah.
And I mean, the club has to pay for a big chunk of it, you know,
For sure.
So it's not like, you know, it's not like in college football or something where like the big club pays a lot of money for the
to get beat up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so if, you know, knowing our club is, you know, investing in these friendlies.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is something of the level that, you know, PR-wise draws attention to us.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a clear net positive to it. So, you know, whether it's one of the Scottish clubs or what have you, you know, it's not going to be club we've never heard of from league we've never really thought about. It's going to be something of some clout because it is bringing national, international, regional attention to our club in a way that a normal May 19th game, you know, a May 19th game against Kalamazoo or something just doesn't.
It's also a Saturday game.
Right.
So it's not like normally like a Tuesday night friendly that we've done before. Although I think the Glentoran was like, what, like a Friday or Saturday?
It's a Saturday because it's Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend. Actually, right. Is that Memorial? That might be Memorial Day weekend too.
No, I think it's too early. I think Memorial's the following weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, against Columbus.
Right. Columbus State University FC, I believe. I mean, they're using Oklahoma State's color scheme and logo
they're
scheme.
Really bad. So. I guess I'll just commit. I bet it's Celtic. I'll put it out there.
I would think it would be... I'm going to go... Isn't Hart a Scottish team?
I think so.
I would go for a club like that.
Like a smaller Scottish team,
yeah,
but still
big. Yeah,
I mean,
like, maybe not Celtic or Rangers or somebody of that caliber. I would pick, like, Hart or Aberdeen or somebody who's maybe, like, mid-table Scottish club.
Partick Thistle.
Patrick. I prefer to pronounce it as Patrick Thistle.
I don't always auto-corrects to Patrick.
It does, yeah. I would enjoy a mascot off with Partick Thistle and Friendly the Bear. I think that terrifying sun versus the terrifying bear would be really fun. But yeah, I mean, I would expect it to be like I mean, I know our club has resources and can invest in these things, but like, I would be really surprised if it's someone of the
that
top.
Big. Yeah.
Right. Just because I think that's like far beyond what we've punched.
Yeah.
And again, there's money involved in these things.
Yeah.
And
oh, it's all money.
And getting like,
especially
this
when
way,
if it's a bigger club.
Like if you think about the overall growth of our club, getting to the playoffs and having a deep playoff run and playing against a Scottish club you've never heard of is far more important than playing Celtic.
Yeah.
And then having a first round loss or not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Both financially and also I think PR wise.
Yeah.
Like if you look at how many people were at the Venezia friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, you know, like I just think there's a realistic weighting to weighting as in like W-E-I-G-H-T. Like
yeah.
It's, there's a heavier weight to like a deep playoff run or were it to happen like a deep Open Cup run. There's stuff of value in those that far outweighs like beating a Liga MX club.
Yeah. I agree with that. But I also think Celtic.
For sure. For sure.
And like there's definitely, I think the club would need to evaluate, I guess, priorities in that regard. I'm still going to stick behind Celtic because I, like, why not?
Right.
And oh, here's my other reasoning why Celtic, because there is a connection there.
Because of the Dropkick Murphys?
No. Although.
I don't.
No. Our Player of the Year award is called the Black Arrow Award, and that's named after Gil Heron.
Correct.
Who was a black soccer player mm-hmm. who played in Detroit for like almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to go play for Celtic.
Yep.
After like he had like a great game, playoff something, whatever game. And there was like scouts from Celtic there. If I remember my Wikipedia
right.
reading correctly. But yeah, so there's a connection of like a very famous soccer player who
right.
played in Detroit for most of his career and then went over to Europe and played for Celtic and did very well at Celtic.
And I think if you look at last year's friendly relationship, one was narrative based, one yeah. was kind of profile based.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, we're bullshit speculating about,
of
you know,
course,
that's something
yeah.
we don't know.
No, exactly.
But like, what the club did in 2017 would parallel that. Liga, the, you know, Necaxa would be the profile game,
yeah.
you know, whereas the Celtic, I mean, obviously there's a profile
of
there,
course.
But like, but
there's still
in
a connection
in the heritage narrative piece. So,
yeah.
I mean, I love that the club is invested in the narrative history of soccer in Detroit.
It's huge. Like, it's definitely opened people's eyes to things that they did not know existed before.
And if you think about like, I mean, I'm in my mid-30s. I didn't grow up in the area. So who dominates the soccer history narrative in this town? Well, it's Roger Faulkner.
Alexi Lalas.
Well, I've heard – I don't – that name sounds familiar. But like
– yeah.
Like those people, and what is their real narrative history in this town? Well, the World Cup and the U.S. men's national team in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine,
but
that's not when
of, like,
soccer
history.
Started
yeah.
in Detroit. That's not the limit of soccer history in Detroit. And the fact that our club's really bought into kind of unpacking the fullness of the history and
yeah.
trying to tell those stories, whether it's Celtic or not, I think it's really cool that we named the award the Black Arrow
yeah,
and that
oh,
we
yeah.
didn't name it the City MVP.
The Milk Player of the Year.
Right.
Double
yeah.
shot.
Chocolate Milk. Well, Dean's is a dairy company. The Dean's Chocolate Milk Player of the Year 2017. Like, thanks.
Yeah.
Don't use my name that way. Get your name out of my mouth.
So yeah, these are good
sure.
discussion
yeah.
topics. Crimson Ginger
mm-hmm.
also had like a second part to the friendly question that he had. So he asks, and I'm going to relate this to the question I'm asking everyone.
Sure.
But he asks, with all this talk about how unsustainable lower division teams are, hold up. With all this talk about how unsustainable lower division teams are, comma. Mm-hmm. What lower division team's success path is most comparable to Detroit City FC?
I don't think there is one.
I agree.
I mean, the lower division clubs that have been successful. Sustainable,
okay.
I mean, success is a weird thing to measure, right? Because, yeah. Like, you look at Chattanooga, and they've been to the NPSL finals multiple times. Not one.
Never won.
They've won whatever the amateur cup. Amateur
cup, yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
The acronyms fail me. Like, you look at the Bucks, right? The Bucks have won their league.
Their league title
over so and many over times. And over and over again. Yeah. So you say, okay, well, the Bucks have won their trophy in their league a billion times. Does it matter? No. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
unless you know.
And, yeah, like, a few hundred people seem to know, and that's about it. Then Chattanooga's never won the final, but they had 19,000 people at a final game a couple years ago. I think that's pretty significant. I think that's pretty successful.
Yeah.
But what we do doesn't really relate to either of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, we're far more similar to Chattanooga than we are to the Bucks, for sure.
Yeah.
And that we have supporters. That's different than the Bucks. And they're not just parents of the players. But I think you look at City and you look at how City has been shaped. And I think Chattanooga, and I don't think this is meant to be a pejorative statement, but I think they've been directly shaped by American soccer. You know, you think about their friendlies. It's like FC Dallas.
Yeah.
It's Atlanta United. It's very contextualized in the spirit of what's happening in American corporate soccer.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at City...
Oh, even their finals, they lost to
the Cosmos Bees.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at City, it's not... Like, it's been pretty much shaped outside of the American corporate structure. Yes, there's been... Obviously, we are in a league, those overlaps, we have to play the Bucks and Open Cup and all that kind of stuff. But, like, you think about our highest profile stuff almost exists outside of that structure.
Yeah.
It's we have thousands and thousands of people despite.
Yeah.
It's we have these giant friendlies despite.
Yeah.
It's we're bringing in all this money despite the fact that all of our owners are just normal dudes with normal dude jobs.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no millionaire owner, let alone billionaire owner.
Although there might be now.
I mean, he obviously has a successful track record, but I don't think there's anything that suggests that he's, like, loaded.
He's not a billionaire. I don't think he's a billionaire.
No, I'm sure he's not a billionaire. But
he's probably a millionaire.
Yeah, he very well might be. But, like the caliber of, like, hey, can I cut a check for $5 million for this club?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
Like, I might be able to cut a check for
$50,000,
yeah. Which is... a lot of
substantial money, at this
level, but that's a minuscule relative to how much we raise for Keyworth.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't mean to, like, I don't want to get my relationships wrong. Like, $50,000 would be a ton of money to be able to just invest in this.
Yeah.
But also it's next to nothing
in the big
for
picture.
What it even takes to operate this club.
Yeah. Well, they have like $1 million a year operating budget.
Exactly. So that,
about according to Cranes.
Correct. So, I mean, like, is 5% of that or 10% being able to invest 5 or 10% of that significant? Sure, but not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so I think, and again, I don't mean this to be any, like, disrespect to Chattanooga or something, but I just think what Chattanooga is doing is so different. Chattanooga is a sports town that's a minor league town.
Exactly.
Chattanooga is...
They're the big fish in the small pond.
Correct. They're an hour to an hour and 15 minutes outside of Atlanta. They're not going to have...
In Nashville.
And Nashville, right. But if you just drive up 75 from Atlanta, as you turn east and hit the Tennessee border, Chattanooga's on your left.
Yeah.
Chattanooga's not going to get an MLS team. They're not competing for that.
No.
Chattanooga's like Dayton, right?
Yeah.
Chattanooga's never going to compete at that level. So all they need to do to be successful is be a really good minor league club.
Yeah.
The thing that's different about our club is that we constantly exist.
Are battling in that, in that major league town.
Right. How do we continue to coexist with a billionaire nipping at our heels always? The billionaire might change who the billionaires are. Maybe they're not even local. Maybe it's, you know, good old Don Garber over in wherever Don Garber's hellhole is. Is it D.C., New York, something like that?
I think,
like,
it's Chicago.
Sure. So, yeah. But, like, maybe like wherever that exists, like, it doesn't always have to be Dan Gilbert or Tom Gores. Like, it's always going to be somebody until we're...
Some asshole.
Right. until that boundary is fully drawn, there's always going to be that person circling. It was Apop for a while. It was Dan Duggan for a while. Somebody was always going to screw up what we were doing.
Yeah.
And so I think what we're doing is just very different. And so these questions about, like, Division Zero or, you know... The U.S. soccer structure. I mean, yeah. I think the thing with
which
City
I want
is,
to talk about,
yeah,
for a little bit, but yeah.
But I think for us, it's always about, like, the end of the day, the club doesn't care about the league. Like, if, like, with the NASL, NPSL, US, like, whatever, like, ultimately, yeah, it's about City's growth and survival and us being dominating the market,
being Detroit soccer team,
correct. And I know it sounds really PR crass, but, like, at the end of the day, if we don't dominate the market, somebody else does.
Yeah.
And so our club has to be the most important thing in this town in
related
order to
soccer.
Yeah.
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 Which is they're doing a really, really good job of that this year. And mm-hmm. I think the direction that they're headed this year is pretty obvious and cool. Whether it's getting these big name friendlies to get people to come to games to associate soccer in Detroit with Detroit City FC. I think mm-hmm. that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. But then you see them doing more and more they can to really ingrain themselves in the community.
Yep.
Whether if that's through the YMCA partnership in Metro Detroit or the Beacon Park partnership, which is, you know, should get residents that live within the city.
Yeah, if you want to know familiar, where I'll be on Saturday mornings, it's, I'll be there.
Exactly. So residents within the city, familiar with the club, or, I mean, the biggest thing is going to be their indoor facility, the field house.
Yeah, for sure.
And the fact that they're, like, really co-branding it with Detroit City FC is like, to me, that's, like, obvious what the hell they're doing. Like, they're making people associate soccer in the city with Detroit City FC.
And if you leave the field house and head west down Lafayette, not that far.
10 minutes, not even.
You end up at the jail site.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's just, Lafayette is just south of Greektown Casino.
I didn't look at it in relation to the jail site, but I looked at it in relationship to Keyworth.
Oh, yeah, straight down Mount Elliott to Keyworth. Yeah. But if you head west on Lafayette from the field house, you end up at Greektown Casino, which is just the other side of the jail site.
That's really funny.
And there's such a perfect visual alignment of billionaire troll who claims he wants sports in this
house at Greektown and see our field house.
Claims he wants something because he's got all this money and this he can get some tax incentives to help the city. We're over here. Someone's saying, well, we'll just take our own money and we'll build an indoor soccer facility because nobody has it.
Yeah.
Like, there's just such a radical investment in the community. And again, I mean, City's a business. Like, yeah, they're still doing things to keep the books balanced and
exactly. Yeah.
But, like, that's such a huge, like, if you're driving to Belle Isle from almost anywhere in this town and you're not on Jefferson, you're going to pass the field house.
Yeah.
What a huge win.
Let's talk about, because you touched on leagues and how they don't matter.
Right.
NASL, dead.
I've
officially
heard of it.
Yep. Dead for 2018. Not going to be an option. They're going to supposedly continue their lawsuit against the federation and sanctioning, and I think they want to try to get to discovery to overturn some potentially damning evidence, or at least they hope to find this evidence that they've said has existed all along. Whether or not it does, who knows?
For sure.
But Dylan is outside and staring at us right now, longingly.
Right. Well, I mean,
wanting to get on the podcast, but
she's the reason of the delay, the contract negotiations.
Oh, yeah.
We got her appearance fee.
What was I saying? So NASL, so they want to find evidence of collusion between different entities within U.S. soccer. And who knows? I don't know. I hope they do, because I personally believe that there is some form of collusion, as there isn't any business deal.
Yep.
You kind of have to be to collude or to be successful. Like, collusion and successful at that level, they go hand in hand. But with all that being said, their injunction was turned down.
Right.
So they're not going to be playing. NISA is not going to be playing in 2018, as far as I know. They've always said hopefully a spring 2019 start. Maybe now with the departing of the NASL, that opens the doors for some of the NASL clubs to join them. maybe kind of give them some financial ground to start doing stuff. As far as I can tell, NISA's only on paper.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything going on major behind the scenes. But then again, also everyone was kind of in a holding pattern waiting for all this lawsuit stuff
for
to
sure.
pan out and all that. But since we kind of since I last podcasted, there's been a growing movement for hashtag Division Zero.
Right.
Do you know what Division Zero is?
I don't.
No, do you have any idea of what it is?
Generally speaking, I'm seeing some of this stuff, you know, kind of flesh out. I know there's conversations around an ultimate an alternate pyramid.
Yeah.
Kind of rejecting the USSF and its sanctioning.
The U.S. Soccer Federation sanctioning.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that they just had an election and they elected the right hand man of the previous person. And
the VP.
So, right. Yeah. I mean, like,
literally,
hey, let's change leadership. We choose the vice president as president. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's not usually really a significant departure in leadership style or goals or what have you.
Vision.
I think the question for me is constantly how this ties back to city. And I think that our owners have always been very, protective.
Correct.
And I think,
right in their decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've always been protective about the future of the club.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why they were, I mean, Peter Wilt was at multiple games at Keyworth last year.
He's been to like two or three games.
Yeah. Total. I took a picture with the guy at one point and I don't even know who he is. I know he was at least two, maybe three games at Keyworth last year. You know, he's obviously someone of some significance in the soccer world.
He's a well-known name in U.S. soccer.
Right.
He's been around the business.
For sure, yeah. And you're not, you know, like, obviously he's the founder of NISA or what have you.
Yeah.
And so they're aware of us. There have obviously been conversations in some form
with
the city and NISA.
There's definitely 100% been conversations, yeah.
And I think, I think the challenge is that at its top levels, U.S. professional soccer is corporate.
Yeah.
And that means that it's a franchises of a corporate entity. And yeah. I don't think this – I mean, if you're a huge MLS fan and for some reason you stumbled upon this podcast, I don't think that's – like, that's the way it's structured. It's franchises
that's
of a corporate
reality.
Structure.
Yeah, that's the reality.
And a chunk of the Division II, USL, is the same way. They're secondary clubs of first-level franchises.
Yeah.
And – so what that does is it says clubs like Detroit City FC have no place.
Yeah.
And unless that changes in the USL MLS world.
Agreement, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. Unless that changes there, I don't think City's ever going to be in an entity like USL that's just constantly moving more and more corporate to a second tier MLS thing.
Yeah.
If USL becomes something that's heavily D2 that's not MLS.
Yeah.
Like if they push to move most of the secondary, the B clubs out or something like that.
Yeah.
Then there's room for DCFC there.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that NASL was always the targeted option and publicly targeted option for our club is because you can be whatever you want in NASL in terms of being an independent organization. So in terms of Division Zero, in terms of this independent structure, I mean, I think it's always going to come back to how does that impact the long-term sustainability of DCFC? And I think the reality is the average fan doesn't give two shits about a league.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the advantage to playing in NPSL for me is the fact that I can go to most of the away games.
Yeah.
But that's it. I hate Ann Arbor. I'd rather not play Ann Arbor. I hate them. They're a joke. The only reason they exist is because they don't want to drive 35 minutes.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, like, I can also go to that away game. I can go to Kalamazoo. I can go to Milwaukee. I can go to, all these other places.
Yeah.
If we get into a league where we're playing in California and Portland and, you know, whatnot, I'm not going to be able to go to those games. And most of us aren't.
Yeah.
Like, how many of you
I'll
went?
I'll go to, like, one or two a year, maybe.
How many of you went to that Minnesota game?
Jackie and I did.
And did you say there were two other people there, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, so we had four supporters in Minnesota. This was
maybe
like 2014, 2015.
Yeah, maybe five.
So we had four or five supporters at an away game for a game that their supporters really didn't care about.
They didn't have any.
Right. So
they had a couple parents there.
So we played Minnesota United B team. They were in the NASL
at the time, yeah.
So they were a D2 team with a fourth tier B side. We had five supporters. They had a handful of parents. That's just not that compelling to me.
Yeah.
Like, as a supporter.
Why does anyone care about that?
And no one should.
Yeah.
Like, rightly speaking, no one should. That's a training friendly. Who cares?
Yeah.
Why did we? Aren't they the ones that hoed out the league and didn't travel to a game?
Yes.
That season?
Yes.
So, like, they didn't care. They didn't even care enough to honor their schedule.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just not good soccer. That's not good business. That's not good anything.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on Division Zero.
Yes.
But I want to touch on, you said, specifically you said you think that the average fan does not care about what league you're playing in.
The average DCFC fan.
The average DCFC fan.
I think there are obviously fans, if you check Twitter, yeah, which you and I have both been on occasion. if you go to Twitter, I mean, there are clearly league-based fans.
Yeah.
They're idiots, because I don't know how you can be the fan of a league.
Lots of people are.
Certainly. I'm a fan of baseball.
Yeah.
And so I care what's going on in baseball, but I wouldn't consider myself a, quote, major league baseball fan.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of things the league as an elite entity does,
yeah,
that piss me off.
Yeah.
The league at its best is just allowing baseball that I love to happen. But the league at its worst is making baseball worse.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested. And I don't understand why people can't differentiate that. Like, MLS at its best is just allowing your teams to be your teams.
Yeah.
And MLS at its worst is screwing up soccer in an entire continent.
Yeah.
Great job, assholes. And so, yeah, I don't understand how you can be a quote-unquote MLS fan. I get that you might – like, I'm not a Bundesliga fan, even though I watch lots of Bundesliga soccer on TV. That's because I'm a Bayern fan. Bayern, yeah, and Norwich are my two non-city clubs.
Yeah.
And so I try to watch the other games in that league because they interest me, because they impact my team.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, anyway, so.
So, do you think sports fans and or Detroit City fans care or not if it's pro soccer?
Well, I think it's.
Because that's like, in my opinion, that's like the reason to move to a different league.
For sure.
There's no other reason to move to a different league other than pro soccer.
Right. I think that's the difference between 7,000 people a game and 15,000 people a game.
Yeah.
I think for sure.
Yeah.
I think there are people who will not come to a game because it's not pro soccer.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, without a doubt. I can tell you for a fact that's
the. Yeah,
that's
and the I think truth. We can. I mean, I think it would be pretty easy to double. Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's a round number. Double attendance to, you know, like. So I think there's for sure. But I don't know that Detroit City FC 10 years from now in the MPSL isn't at 15,000 people.
That's the other thing, is like, so sustainability for our club is not tied into whether or not they go pro. And
correct.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think either way, Detroit City FC is going to be around.
Right.
But it would be silly for me to say I don't want DCFC to go pro, because I
certainly
do. I think,
yeah,
that's like the logical next step. I would like us to continue existing in the MPSL and continue giving opportunities to these college guys to play in front of an atmosphere that they never would have the chance to in college or even after college, because going to a pro team in the United States is actually really not that easy.
Right.
Which is silly, because it's the level of play compared to the rest of the world is like way lower, but
correct,
still it's not easy to break into.
Right.
So I would want, you know, DCFC to continue to exist in the way that it does. But I also would love to see us go pro, but given the current landscape, I don't really see an option that I want.
Right.
Which I'm now going to segue into what our options are.
Mm-hmm.
NISA is the other option right now. And I don't like the other somewhat tangible option, at least I should say. But I don't know how successful NISA will be.
Right.
Even given the teams that have already been kind of announced, or the quote markets, mm-hmm, that have been announced, because that's how we talk about things. Like, Chattanooga is definitely a force to be reckoned with, and anything that they do should definitely be taken seriously. But as far as the league goes, My concern would be they still want to adhere, and by they, I mean this is what Peter Wilt has said, that he plans on making the league still abide by and meet the professional league standard requirements.
Right.
And I talked about it on the podcast before, but I feel that those standards, those requirements are somewhat arbitrary mm-hmm. when it comes to sustainability and success. And the big hang up I have is when you have a league that every owner has to have, if they're Division III, a net worth minimum of $10 million. Guess what?
Right.
We don't get to be in that league.
Exactly.
Unless we pull in someone else and someone who might not share the same community and supporter oriented vision that we have. And I think our owners have been very good about making sure that they don't do anything that kind of deviates from that path, from that vision. But I always wonder if they get desperate and like they'll start, you know, making concessions on their values and their beliefs in order to go pro. And I hope they don't,
right.
But that's something that might happen in order to, if they feel that the only way to be sustainable is to do that. If, you know, say MLS in Detroit gets announced, then it's a race against the clock at being Detroit's pro soccer team.
Yep. And I think the thing with NISA, is not that NISA might not work out. It might not be something awesome, but NISA right now feels like if you're a club like City, you're in a stable relationship.
Yeah.
Now, you know the pros and the cons. You know the pitfalls of it.
Yeah.
You don't always get to do what you want, maybe, or you don't always, in our case. A 3-month season, you get idiots like the Stars that show up 15 minutes away and move to a different club, move to a different stadium every year. Yeah. And that's stupid. And the fact that they exist is ridiculous. Yeah. And the league should not allow that, but it does. And whatever. And then they go away someday down the road.
Well, it's decided on by the regions. So the region owners agree to it and whatever.
Right. But somebody should still say, no, there's no way.
Yeah.
But whatever. NISA feels like the midlife crisis, hot new thing. Like, but instead of saying, I'm going to dump what I've always known for like the thing that's Corvette. 20 years younger, it's the, I'm going to dump the thing I've always known and hope I find the thing that's cooler. And I think City is right to not have like signed up with NISA right away and publicly said, we're in, we're on this, whatever. Because I think our club needs to be guarded about, at the end of the day, we still need to do what's right. And we need to see if this thing's going to happen.
Yeah.
And now with NASL essentially being dead or not being a thing
inactive,
anymore.
Inactive, we'll call it.
Yeah. Right. And unlikely to rehabilitate. Typically when leagues die, they don't come back.
Yeah. Well, the NASL has at least once.
Okay. Sure. And I mean, the fact is, I mean, like some of the NASL participants, some of the owners have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so like lawsuits and stuff will go on for a long time because they have the capital to fight those things.
Yeah.
But like the NASL is gone for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, like, okay, now NISA probably does become a much higher priority or a much higher.
There's going to be more people getting behind it. Yeah, exactly.
Certainly. Yeah. Maybe the Cosmos are calling and saying we'd like to be involved in this now that NASL is likely dead.
Yeah.
And so maybe that shifts the landscape a bit, but it still feels like the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Yeah.
And at least we know what things we don't like about NPSL.
Yeah.
Without saying, we've built a lot of stuff for the first time.
Yeah.
We've done the stadium investment project for the first time.
Yeah.
This Fieldhouse thing is unlike anything that's been done at fourth tier semi-pro amateur soccer.
Nothing's
like
done
so all like of this, these yeah. like really unique things, like is our club, is the leadership really ready to help form a league, and you know, or are they like, we'll see what shapes up and then we'll jump in.
Yeah.
I'm more conservative on that kind of thing and say like, look, we can take the local radical investments, but when it comes to the big league thing, let's wait and see.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't have money in the game.
Of course. At the end of the day, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Crimson Ginger then asks, what are your thoughts on the Division Zero concept? Are you educated enough to even have thoughts on that? So we're going to... No, he shook his head no.
Yeah. Arrested Development narrator voice, no, he did not.
we'll talk about what that means. Division Zero is an unsanctioned league. It would be something that the best way I could describe it is like a pirate league. You don't have backing from your federation. You don't have backing from FIFA. Right. You don't have a lot of backing, but you can do whatever you want.
Right.
The pirate, you can pay your players whatever. You can not pay your players. You can do whatever you want to do, what the league rules say you can do. There are some pretty large hang-ups as to the negatives of that.
Yeah.
Well,
it boxes you out of things like Open Cup.
Which, you know, everyone has their opinions about. I'm pretty in the middle about Open Cup. I think it's a great tournament, but I think that it really taxes our early season roster.
For sure. But that would be something that stands out right away.
Exactly. That's like a very relatable thing. Correct. That people can recognize, like, oh, no Open Cup. Another really big thing that is a negative is players who play for you are ineligible to play for their international teams because you're playing in a league that is not sanctioned by FIFA.
You'd also run the risk, if you were paying anyone, is that you couldn't use college players or they would lose their scholarship.
Exactly.
And so taking the Division Zero route for Detroit City would immediately mean most of the names we're familiar with.
And the pipelines where we get our players.
Correct. Would all either be completely gone. Like, I mean, the arguments for going for D0 in this case would involve being able to pay players and being able to be more pro.
I would say the only argument for heading this route would be to become pro.
So we would lose all of the Elijah Rice, Tyrone Mondi, all of the players over the years that have been college players on college scholarships who would all – they could not play for us and maintain their eligibility.
Correct.
Okay, so that's a pretty...
But again, so this is normal to any pro league.
Correct, yeah. But
the big thing is, if you get a player like Sean Claude Lawson...
Correct.
Who is a national, I believe, I want to get this correct. He's a Jamaican national team player. Like, he's played for the Jamaican national team.
Correct.
If he played for Detroit City... And Detroit City was a Division Zero and a non-sanctioned pro league. He could no longer play for Jamaica.
Correct.
And so you do run into the, yes, you can't use college players anymore conundrum, but that's always the case if you're going to go pro.
For sure.
So the Division Zero issue is then you're also potentially not being able to get a lot of talent who is really good because then they lose their eligibility to play for their pro team.
Correct.
So how talented is this team going to be? Is it going to be the guys who are just out of college who never had a chance to be a pro, like an international team player? Or it really depends on, you know, what you're targeting in terms of player.
It seems like what talent. You've done, if you go that route, you box yourself into the minimum age of 22.
Yeah.
Player who does not have a national or an international career, you know, no career there.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason is not able to find traction in, you know, a professional
the regular program, route.
Something like that. And so then you probably end up with a bunch of guys who are 26 years old.
Yeah.
Who have not been able to stick in academies to pro programs or somewhere else. And at that point, you sound like you're pretty much a glorified men's league.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously you're better because they're pros that you're trying out and paying. But, like, if they're at the caliber to play at the national level, they're not going to play for you. They'll play somewhere else.
Yeah.
If they're, you know, a college-age player, the Will Mellers, Blair, Tyrone Mondi, like, type of guys that played for us over the years, obviously they're not going to play for you. So, like... You can't cater to the amateurs that have up-and-coming careers.
It's a paid men's league.
Yeah. And I just, like, at that, like, it reminds me, to use the baseball analogy, it reminds me of the barnstorming teams of 100 years ago who were just, like, somebody that had a lot of money. Like, a company, like, a millionaire, whatever, in some town was like, I want a baseball team. I'm just going to pay these guys to play baseball. And they're going to go around and they're going to rep my brand. And they, like, you know, they help sell whatever I'm selling.
Yeah. That's a really good way to look at it. Yeah, I would not have thought about it that way, but that's like totally 100% a good way to look at it.
It's just, it's barnstorming soccer at that point, which is fun and it's interesting, but like it just doesn't seem like that's what Detroit needs. That seems like that's interesting for, say, Jackson, Michigan,
yeah,
or Traverse City, or some place that is obviously never going to compete for pro level sports.
Yeah.
Like, sure, that's fun. That's fine. Who cares? But it just really doesn't make any sense in this market.
It's a great analogy. I actually was not expecting it to go that route, but I like that answer.
You're welcome.
I'm totally, like, that totally threw me off. I don't remember where I was headed with this. Oh, the final, like, another really big issue with Division Zero is you don't have access to officiating.
Oh.
So you don't have, like, referees that are governed at a national or international level.
Which seems like a problem.
Or even, like, a regional level. So, like, all of the refs that we get now couldn't be refs within a pirate league, basically. So you don't have access to that either.
And the refs we have now suck. So, and those are the ones that have been trained and certified.
Exactly.
Like, I don't see how that would, like, that wouldn't be a win. I mean, again, it just, like, the barnstorming analogy seems the most accurate. Like, it's just something people are doing for fun and spending some money doing to get the word about whatever they're selling.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Like, and give people something fun to do on a Saturday afternoon or whatever. It just doesn't seem to have any relation to professional sports.
This is actually really interesting. The guy behind Division Zero, his name's Robert Palmer.
Okay.
And he owns the Jacksonville Armada.
Sure.
Which is an NASL, was an NASL team.
Yep.
And lately, he's been tweeting about marketing and streaming and eyes on stream and things that, now that I'm thinking about, are very related to the idea of the barnstorming baseball team. Like, he's talking, like, advertising.
Yeah.
And pro soccer and aligning those two. And that's really fascinating. I'm going to have to, like Google, like, the baseball teams from, like, the early 1900s.
Yep.
There was, I know there were teams like that around here.
For sure.
Like, that was probably sponsored by, like, Ford Motor Company.
A good example, kind of regional, was in Albion.
Okay, wow.
I know. I believe they were called the Park Fence Giants.
Okay.
And I'm not an expert in this, but the Park Fence Company, they made fencing that was, like, a...
For, like, farmers or...
Exactly. Okay. Like, think, like, some sort of competitor to, like, barbed wire or something like that. And, like, that guy that owned this company hired an entirely African-American roster. Mm. He was a real progressive dude. He wanted to, like, market the brand and whatever. And they barnstormed for, like, 3 or 4 years. Albion, Michigan in the 1890s or something like that.
It was, like, a baseball powerhouse.
Well, and, like, regionally. But they were known. They had some really good players. Okay. But, like, the point being, like, the primary function of this wasn't to, like, win world championships.
Yeah, it was to advertise.
It was, like, we're taking the brand and we're taking these people around and winning baseball games. Is that a lasting thing? Absolutely not. It lasted for like 4 years. Okay. And a lot of the barnstorming players would move around. So you'd have the guy that would pop up over here and 4 years later, he's over here.
A bunch of mercenaries, yeah.
Yeah, because that's who could offer them money to live. And like, so yeah, you'd have the Detroit City FC Art Van Furnitures or something like that. And like, cute, but like, what's the lasting value of that club and that community? It sold some mattresses.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Art Van. I know he just passed away a few weeks ago. Sorry about that, Art.
We're coming up on another hour here, but I do want to ask one. Let's do two more quick questions.
Sure.
Dan McGee asked you, what is something you'd like City to do that they haven't yet? Initiatives, not accomplishments.
Women's club.
Women's club?
Yeah.
That's a pretty popular answer.
Sure. I mean, I think that's...
Would you want it to play in the same league as, like, Grand Rapids and the Detroit Sun and Motor City FC?
Well, I've never heard of the Detroit Sun. I don't know.
Beers?
Oh, I know. I mean, I've heard of them. I'm just denying it on the podcast. Yeah. I mean, I think... I don't see why we couldn't compete for the NWSL level.
Okay.
And I think that's...
That would be interesting because that would be a pro Detroit soccer team.
Correct. And I think that would be a significant step forward for the club. I think that would be a significant step forward for women's soccer in the region. And I think, I don't follow domestic soccer. I don't follow soccer in the way that other people do. But I think NWSL just moved a club and closed a club before the season started.
They're very MLS-y in their way that they practice business.
Stunned. I'm stunned. But so I would like to see if we were going to do like, and I mean, I think that's been the club's approach. They're not going to do something until they can do it right.
100%.
And so rather than launch a club that's going to compete with two other local clubs, with the Detroit Sun, which I think is in Pontiac or something like that.
They play at Ultimate right now.
And then where does Motor City play?
Probably at Berkeley.
Okay. But so like, why would we launch another club to play two other clubs nearby? Like, again, it's the NPSL thing all over again.
It's like an NPSL women's model.
Right. Exactly. So I would prefer to do something at a higher level, but I think that would be the step. I mean, we've seen the YMCA. I mean, like, we've seen them deepen the club opportunities and the field house. Like, that seems like you've deepened the roots with the K-12 kids significantly. Yeah. And that would be the thing that I would do next. I would want to see. Yeah.
Good answer. And then, so finally, this will be the last question. Gus Macker asked you, what club would you like for DCFC to visit? It doesn't matter where.
DCFC would visit? Or like we would go visit, or they would come here.
We would. I'm assuming he's asking DCFC traveling somewhere. Hmm. What would be like your dream club for DCFC to travel to?
Well, I don't think there's really anybody in North America that would be more interesting. I mean, we're playing Chattanooga this year.
So that one's done. Like that one was the only one I really wanted.
Right. I mean, I don't think I follow soccer in the way that some other people do. Yeah. I'm not as invested in like all the clubs and, you know, roster moves and stuff like that. I mean, I'd love to see it be one of the two other clubs that I care about. I think it'd be a ton of fun if it was Norwich, because Norwich is a championship league side. And so it's not quite the caliber of something foolish at the top of the tier of a League One.
It'd be a fun game to watch.
For sure. I mean, I would love that. But I think us visiting an English side would be really interesting for English soccer, U.S. Like, I think there would be, like, again, I mentioned in part one, like, some of the English fans saying, like, yeah, if you need to do a capo. That's really interesting. We don't do that here. That's really, like, I just think it would be an interesting supporter cultural shift for us to see what that's like. Because, obviously, when they come over here, they bring a small portion of what supporting looks like over there. Of course, if we went over there, we couldn't have Campo stands and all stand and, you know, Tetris and whatever. But, like, I think that would be interesting. I mean, I think if you get into other countries, you have a language barrier. You just have, we're all just watching on the stream or we have no idea what's going on. Yeah. Like, it would be fun to play against an English-speaking club somewhere and then see those soccer cultures, the supporter cultures, interact.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good answer. I'm going to actually answer this one.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't really answer questions. So I will selfishly say my family, like most of my family lives in Argentina.
Yeah.
They live in a city called Mar del Plata, which is like a coastal town. I would call it like the Myrtle Beach of Argentina.
Okay.
So, like, it's got the best beaches, it's got the biggest beaches, and it's kind of like the vacation spot for everyone else in Argentina to go to in the summer.
Okay.
But they have a soccer club there. Sure. And they, the club is called Aldo Civi, or if you pronounce it like them, I think they would pronounce it Aldo Civi, because they do V's to B's in Argentina.
Yep.
But, I would want Detroit City to face, like, a mid-table Argentine A, and they occasionally drop down to B.
Yep.
But so it'd be a good competitive game. But I would totally travel down there
for sure
and see family and stay with them. And I would love for my family to see my club because they go to those games. And like in Argentina, it's actually really funny. So there's two big clubs. There's Boca Juniors and River Plate, and those are pretty well known club names. Mm-hmm. They're But in Argentina, you have your local club, and then you have Boca or River.
Oh, interesting.
So, and if your local club just happens to be one of those teams, you're probably, you know, part of the Barra Brava, like, right, going right. to games in it. But, yeah, so if you're not in the capital, if you're not in Buenos Aires, you have your local club, and then you support either Boca or River. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And
so it's actually really funny, too, like elections, like, political candidates in Argentina get votes based on which club they support. So, like, you'll see billboards for politicians that there's, like, a big Boca Juniors logo next to them.
Nice.
It's, like, it's totally entwined with their everyday lives. So, like, half my family is Boca and half my family is River.
So which half don't you speak with?
The River half, because I'm a Boca half.
Got it.
But there's... So there's actually a Fuck Ohio scarf that is floating around Argentina. Nice. Because I gave it to one of my cousins. So I would really love for them to see.
Yeah.
And they'll see on Facebook, like, the photos I take, and they'll see me, like, the photos that I get taken of me, like, I'm in smoke bombs, like, you know, sleeveless shirt, my face covered.
Right.
And they think that, like, I'm part of the Barra Brava in the United States, which is totally different than what it is in Argentina. It's like a criminal organization.
Right.
Like, they launder money and run drugs and do all that. And they're, like, very entwined with, like, they pay their players. Like, if you want a good player to come to Boca Juniors, like, the Barra Brava, like, they'll pay part of their wage to get that player there. It's like really crazy, but that's how the supporter culture is down there. So, like, my family, like, when they first saw me getting into soccer, they were, like, a little concerned. Like, are you okay? Like, are you involved with, like, dangerous people or anything like that? Right. I'm like, no, it's, like, totally different. Like, it's, yeah, we, you know, emulate the culture, but not, like, the business side of it. So, yeah, that would be my, like, I would love to see Detroit City FC, like,
for sure,
go play Aldo Civi in Mar del Plata.
So, I mean, I think ultimately we're talking about the same thing then. Like,
yeah,
go to another country, play against a, you know, a middle table,
yeah,
you know, none of the big brand clubs.
No.
Just, like, play a local club and just see those cultures interact and have, like, help. Like, I'd love to have some of the Norwich City folks that I know, like,
yeah,
have them see what it's like.
Our thing.
Like, you only see this little bit. Like, here's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and allow those things. Of course, we wouldn't be able to do smoke bombs and stuff in here in England. But,
we'd probably make it happen.
Once. Then yeah, we'd all be arrested. But hey, no, like, I think that's probably the biggest thing is, like, allowing those differences in local
culture,
soccer culture, to interact. That would be the biggest win here.
Yeah, I think definitely on the same page about that
for sure.
Well, we are officially way over an hour now, so we got two over hour long parts. Padre, this has been a lot of fun
for sure.
Thank you for coming.
I've absolutely loved it.
Hopefully we'll get you back on again, whether it's during the season or discussing the past season. I don't really have any plans for that in the future, but you're an excellent guest, so I'd love to have you back on. Thanks, guys, for listening. Definitely rate and subscribe if you haven't already.
If you haven't heard, you can subscribe in Spotify
we
now.
We are on Spotify now. Very proud of that. It was like weeks of work trying to make that happen. And it's like totally, it's like not even a big deal. But like, I just really wanted to say I was on Spotify. You
for
know?
Sure.
So happy that's on there. Thanks for listening, guys. And we will see you next time.
Take care.
Fuck Ohio.
Exactly.